In today's episode, Laura and I will be discussing 8 different mantras to stop your mind from spinning out of control.
Welcome to Who Said You Have To, where we discuss how society dictates to us who we must be and how we must live our lives.
In this podcast, we will also help you find ways to choose the life you want to live with no fear or judgment.
My name is Laura Schmidt. Tina and I know the things discussed today are not what society has taught us to believe, but I choose to believe in my own ability to see what is truth and what is not truth.
My name is Tina Mason, and Laura and I challenge you to join us in believing in your own ability to find your truth, not what society has dictated you must believe to be accepted or loved.
The truth is, you are loved exactly as you are, right here, right now. No human is more vital than another. You matter.
And you have the free will to walk your own path with no fear and no judgment. We encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
who said you have to?
Ooh, tell me, Tina. What does this mean? What are we talking about?
Today, we are going to be talking about mantras to help stop your mind from spinning out of control. And what is it that, what creates that, Laura? Like, why do we have that our brains start going into that space of spinning?
I can't help it. It just goes. I just think the daily stressors of life, worrying, we have no control over the past, but we keep dragging it along with us. And then we can't control the future, but we worry about it. So all of that collides and just will not stop.
What's that medical term that they use?
Anxiety.
Anxiety. And, you know, anxiety has become so pervasive across the country. And for many, it's really due to their lack of, due to our evolving culture and the societal cultural concerns, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like
worrying about what others think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have this constant, you know, is it Republican? Is it Democrat? Is it independent?
Oh,
is
God,
it, you know,
so done with all
what,
that.
You know, do I say white? Do I say Caucasian? Do I say person of color? Do I say Asian? Do I say Oriental? Do I, like,
right.
you know,
he, she, they, them,
you know, it's, there's so much uncertainty of, and, you know, society tells us that we must be compliant to everyone's feelings and their, you know,
mm-hmm.
but what about our own?
Yeah.
What is it that is, you know, even when you're on an airplane and the stewardess tells you, they say, when those masks drop down, mm-hmm. right? You put it on the child first.
I always wonder, are they really going to drop down?
Yeah.
Like, what if they don't drop down? Because the way they're building shit nowadays, man, I don't trust that those masks are coming down. So there I have some anxiety.
That does create anxiety. But if they do, yeah. they say, put your mask on first.
Yes.
So that you can care for your child yeah. or, you know, your mate or whatever. Because if we aren't caring for ourselves, then how are we supposed to care for other people?
Exactly.
You know, I was speaking to this gentleman the other day. I had a session with this gentleman, and he said, you know, I have this desire to heal the world. And I said, well, and that's awesome. That's amazing. That is a very selfless thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that what we do so often is we focus all of our attention like a spotlight on one person or one situation or whatever, mm-hmm. and we burn ourselves out on that one thing.
Yes.
But what would happen if we literally allowed ourselves just to take that space, which as much as I have so many feelings about COVID, I feel like so many people during that 2 weeks of, you know, okay, everything's shut down for two mm-hmm. weeks. It was that opportunity to right here, right now, rest and fill yourself up with peace and love and joy, which was scary because it was a scary time,
yeah.
right? But fill yourself up with that peace and that love and that joy and allow it to fill your entire body so that you are completely filled. And then that spotlight now becomes a lighthouse. And now all of your excess, because we make enough
to share
with the whole entire world,
yes.
it's a lighthouse and it's your excess instead of it being, you know, your, I'm so sorry. I just got distracted. But it is, you're sharing with the whole world now, and it's your excess. It's not yours. So you've already yes. put your mask on. You already put that oxygen that mask
beautiful
on.
Beautiful yellow
mask. Yeah. Well, it's plastic with yellow tabby. Yes. But you've already put your mask on to take care of you. And now all of your excess is going out to the world, right? So that's just my little spin on how to help eradicate anxiety altogether. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so but that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about some baby steps. So, and I know that anxiety disorders are among the most common mental disorders.
Especially, I know it went way up after, like you said, COVID. Way up in younger people. Mm-hmm. But the way that we communicate with ourselves is the way that you have an impact on your ability to ease your anxiety.
Agreed.
Just like your mind creates this anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Right. Exactly.
You can reverse out of it.
Exactly. And, you know, anxiety, which is the most common mental disorder, it does affect nearly 30% of adults at some wow. point in their life. And that's just the ones that actually are recorded because yeah. they go...
A lot of people live with it and suffer with it alone exactly. and not even...
Exactly.
Not know that there is help out there to get rid of it.
I agree 100%. And it, you know, like we said, it keeps growing and growing and, you know, the worries about COVID and now monkeypox and, you know, other things.
Oh gosh, I saw a post about that and saying, parents, keep your children home. There's like 300 cases of monkeypox in the world or in the United States. And I was like, seriously, we're going to disrupt another school year now with
monkeypox. What is it? Like the monkey?
Like,
is it
like chicken pox from a monkey?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like,
did that shows you how much attention I paid to it because it's some disease and you get
like. Well, I'm just curious. Like, I mean, a kid with chicken pox bite a monkey and then they got monkey pox and the monkey got mad bit the kid back and then and obviously this kid's
that
a fighter.
How much I'm going to claim ignorance on it because I've paid zero attention to it.
If anybody would like to come on and be a guest, please feel free. We would love to have you on, but we are going to keep going. So some other things that are creating a lot of anxiety is mass shootings, mm-hmm. Crime rates going up, you know, the current political and financial climate, changes to our constitutional rights. You know, like a 12-year-old girl who was raped who can't get an abortion. Many of us are feeling vulnerable and fearful and we're finding, ourselves like just ruminating on these anxious thoughts about the future.
And then just letting life pass you by as you're ruminating on those thoughts. And then, I mean, I've been there myself, you know,
absolutely.
I've come back from what should have been a beautiful day. And I was like, where did that day go? Oh, I was worrying about other crap, not what I was mm-hmm. doing at the time, not being present.
So totally with you.
And then anxiety disorders develop from a complex set of risk factors, including genetics, brain chemistry, our personality itself. If you are one of those ruminators, that personality, excuse me, my phone, I thought I had it on silent. So, you know, according to the National Institute of Mental Health and the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, gosh, I would not like to be part of that board.
No, that would be very...
going over...
That would be very depressing.
Depressing.
I might feel a little anxious.
So anxiety disorders affect 40 million adults, which is 19% of the population, 18 and older. And now I believe, you know, it's older with adolescents. It's alarming 31.9% of adolescents between the ages of 13 and 18 are affected now.
That is so insane.
Yeah. And so, of course, these untreated teens, they're at risk, right, of poor academic performance, social, you know, I've seen so many more kids nowadays that have social anxiety. They mm-hmm. can't go out in public. And just, you know, of course, where does that lead to?
Well,
substance abuse.
They have to numb.
Yeah, well, they go to the doctor first, and what do they give you? Here's a pill, here's a Xanax, here's a Klonopin, whatever, Wellbutrin, and that works for a little while, and then they're like, well, let me try something else. So, of course.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. Before we started Free Will Healing, like before I started to understand, you know, before my major event that changed mm-hmm. my life, when I was an accountant, Xanax, one of my best friends.
Oh, I've been there when I was in nursing school. The only reason I got through it was Xanax. Oh, no, I'm not bashing medications. It gets you through times. Right. But definitely, let's not do this long term.
Right? Yeah, just so that all of you understand, we are not in any way trying to discuss something that we don't fully understand.
Yeah.
We have lived it ourselves. And, you know, that pit in your stomach of, I want to vomit.
Mm-hmm.
And
just being frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frozen.
So
that's actually a really good way to put it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we do have that limited control over our lives when it comes to society.
Yeah.
Societal things. We cannot control, you know, the political climate. We can't control the economy. We can't control any of that stuff. And it feels very uncertain.
Yeah.
It feels very, very uncertain. And that uncertainty leads oftentimes to destabilizing our thoughts and our feelings. And it just creates this helplessness and this hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can question the world around us and become very disappointed and frustrated with ourselves. And all the while desperately searching for ways to stabilize within this chaotic environment.
Yeah.
You know?
A line that I love is, if it has a solution, why worry? And if it doesn't have a solution, why worry? So, like, what has worry got you?
Yeah.
Did worrying ever solve anything?
No.
No. Actions will solve.
Well, you know.
Creating we'll go over the tips, right? And doing things for yourself and clearing your mind. That will take away the anxiety. Worrying is not going to do anything.
Exactly. I had a very, very wise man.
Wise
being. Only fools rush.
Which is true.
But I had a very wise being tell me one time, that we should, you know, that fear and shame is very bad for the human spirit. And, you know, I said, well, I feel like a little bit of fear and maybe a little guilt or something, you know what I mean?
Sometimes helps, right?
Sometimes helps. And he said, actually, how about, would you rather your children be in fear and guilt and shame, or would you rather them be aware and respectful?
Mm-hmm.
Aware of what's around them, respectful of the pitfalls,
mm-hmm.
right? But not fearing anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah,
that's
that.
Funny.
Yeah,
what,
that one.
What institutions give you fear and guilt?
Hmm.
We'll let everybody answer that question on their own.
If anybody would like to come on and be a guest, we'd be more than happy to have you. But the ways in which we communicate with ourselves
mm-hmm.
have a substantial impact on our mindset, our motivation, our actions, and it affects our ability to feel empowered and to ease that anxiety,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're in these uncertain times. And the way we express ourselves and our ability to reframe and shift can have a very positive impact on our mindset and perception.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it is a lot of times, is just that little shift in perception.
Yeah.
And it can be the deciding factor as to whether or not we take direct action or default to that resisting, avoiding, disregarding, distracting from our lives, living our lives.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is that we don't know when we are born, we don't know how much time we have. I don't know, sitting right here, right now, I'm in excellent health. Physical, maybe not mental, but
we're both a little mental and stable.
But you know, the thing is that I still could fall down the steps and break my neck or get in a car accident.
St. George drivers suck.
What is up?
Dear Lord, I thought Corpus Christi drivers were bad.
Okay, so anybody who has driven through or lives in the state of Utah, if you have a story about Utah drivers, we'd like to hear about it. Because
you could send us an email.
Let me tell you.
We'll talk about it more.
I was driving the other day, and I was at a stoplight, the one right there by my house, mm-hmm. By the gas station.
Yeah.
And the light, you know, I was turning left. The light turns green for us to turn left. Two cars go, right? So it wasn't like it just turned.
Yeah.
Two cars go. And I am behind the third one. And all of a sudden, to the left, I see this truck just hauling ass coming down. And I slammed on my brakes. and he just flew right through the intersection.
I wonder if his brakes were dead.
No, he was on his phone and didn't see until the very last second that the light was red.
See, driving in St. George causes anxiety.
Yes. Well, and also
so it makes me,
being a passenger in car with my husband, driving in St. George causes anxiety.
So in order to, to ease that anxiety of driving in St. George, I am hyper aware.
Yeah,
me too. I have to admit, you know, I've done the check my messages a couple times, open road, right? And now it's like, I have this thing on my phone where it sends a message to somebody that says I'm driving right now.
Oh, I've gotten that message from you many a time.
Many a time. So that is how I ease my anxiety. I'm like, okay, I'm just bringing full awareness 100% to driving, which is the way it should be.
Right, exactly. So we're going to talk about 8 different mantras that can help you when you feel that your mind's starting to spin out of control.
That click.
And a lot of times, and I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, it is a process of learning to catch it and stop it. Mm-hmm. It is, don't beat yourself up. It takes practice and it takes time to, because when this has been happening to you for a long period of time, you're so used to it that you don't even realize you're in it until you're in a ball, you know, in the corner rocking back and forth.
Yes.
So be gentle, be kind, be loving to yourself, and understand that this takes practice. Mm-hmm. It takes practice. But we're going to start out with the first one. And it is, Laura,
this is the way my mind loves and tries to protect me. And again, you don't have to follow these word by word. You can adapt it, something that may feel better for you. Because I'm not a huge fan of this one particularly. Right? Oh, really? This is the way my mind loves me? yes. And of course, like I said, mantras, you repeat them several times. It's not like you're going to say, oh, this is the way my mind loves and tries to protect me and be done.
Yeah.
It is literally.
You do it at least 3 times.
It is embodying it and saying it as even as much as 100, you know. Mm-hmm. They sell these things. They're called mala beads. And it's actually where I believe the rosary originated from. You know, when you pray the rosary, you go around the beads and say all the prayers. So the mala necklace is a whole bunch of beads. And I think you've probably seen me wear it a few times. So you count with each bead, you go around and you repeat your mantra over and over and over until you complete the necklace. Mm. So with this mantra, you're acknowledging that your mind and body truly looks out for you. And it does. Your body adapts and your mind adapts to get you through many situations. And it loves you. It does. It is doing what it thinks is best for you, and it's trying to protect you from danger, harm, or discomfort. Perceived, right?
But it is perceived.
But it doesn't always know how to decipher what is dangerous and harmful. It's sometimes relentless at getting its point across. And isn't always cognizant of the benefits of experiencing the discomfort, right? Sometimes you need to go through that discomfort.
Because it builds that resilience in developing the coping skills.
And it has good intentions. So, and that's actually a good way to look at your anxiety. It's good intentions. It's trying to warn you or trying to get you to look at something a little deeper, right?
Right.
In other words, it doesn't always have the best delivery,
right?
But underneath it all, it can help to remind yourself that your mind is coming from a loving, caring, and nurturing place.
And realizing that it is your mind, not reality.
Correct. I remember I'd have anxiety attacks. Later, I deciphered why they would happen at night when I was alone because of a traumatic childhood event.
Right.
If I was at night alone at a bus stop, I lived in Argentina, as everybody knows. I won't go over that again. but I would be at the bus stop, and if nobody was there and I was alone and just that silence of the night, it triggered my response to that childhood traumatic event.
Right.
And I would have full-blown panic attacks.
Yeah.
And I would have to talk myself through it and breathe and go, okay, nothing's happening. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I'm safe.
I'm on the bus right now. I'm going home. You know, that type of talking. I've had worse where I've ended up in the hospital thinking I'm dying, but I would have to reframe. Okay. You are safe.
Yeah.
Look around. There's nobody attacking you. You know, that type of
process. And I know that mantra is not on this list that we have, but that is actually one of my very favorite ones that I use with my clients all the time, which is I am safe.
I'm always safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know it well, don't you? You're like, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I am safe. I am always safe. And everybody say it with me. You ready? We're going to do it 3 times. I am safe.
I am always safe.
I am always safe. I am safe. I am always safe. I am safe. I am always safe. There we go. So, number two, we're going to go on to the next one. And I think this one is just so funny because when I was reading it, I was like, what? But it literally is just plot twist. And it's basically, things can and do spontaneously happen differently than what you wanted or what you expected. And it will cause you to immediately change those gears and recalibrate. And it can understandably leave you feeling disappointed or unsettled.
Sometimes.
And especially when you resist that change, it increases the distress and could often leave you feeling more exasperated. Thank you. Because you're frustrated at yourself or at the situation. In order to let go of that resistance and become more flexible and open to the change, when you say just that mantra, plot twist, it can help you remind you that it's just a pivoting or veering off and that you can work with it rather than against it, mm-hmm. And
you can totally work with it.
Yeah, it's just a plot twist in the movie, mm-hmm. The movie that is your life. You know what I mean? And it is vital for our mental well-being. To be able to be versatile, be able to say, oh, well, I really wanted to have pizza, but my favorite pizza place is closed.
Yeah.
So, we have a gentleman named Howard who would like to come on and be a guest, and we would love to have him on. In 3, 2, 1.
Ooh, no.
Hello, handsome Howard. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Nice to meet you, Tina and Laura.
It's a pleasure to meet you. What can we do for you today? What you got for us?
I just love what you're talking about. And I just wanted to offer that, this whole idea of plot twist is really a great little reminder to shift and be able to harmonize with whatever is currently going on rather than resist it, as you were talking about, because that's what causes the friction that ends up generating the negative energy that we call anxiety and disharmony in us. Obviously, as you get older in life, you realize the one constant, right? What is the one constant in life? I'm sure you guys have heard this before.
I don't know if I have or not. Please keep going.
Okay. The one constant in life is change.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And so.
And how boring would it be, Howard, if we didn't have it?
That's right. Well, that's right. Then life is about infinite possibility. And so, and the other thing that I have realized and taught to many is that the challenges or the plot twists are often your greatest moment of opportunity to demonstrate this new version of yourself that is more accepting and more in command and control of your life. So it's an opportunity rather than maybe something that can throw you off track, but it's an opportunity for you to demonstrate your newfound faith that you trust life and you trust the process of it. So...
Howard, I love how you phrase that. I really do, of a new opportunity, because so many times in life, we feel like opportunities are being taken from us. And what I am hearing you say is we actually can create our own opportunities to be more, to be better, to be who we choose to be instead of who society tells us we must be.
Right. And the other real key part of that, and this takes some time and all respect to anybody who's gone through some major trauma in life, but when we look back on a lot of things that we've gone through in our life, we see that each of those experiences led us to a greater understanding of ourselves and how to navigate this world. And so when we adopt a little bit more of a faith and trust that life is with us on this journey and has our back and is helping nudge us to what we ultimately want, it gives us that pause when something occurs to just not react from an emotional standpoint, but like you said, plot twist. Okay, what is this for? And how is this going to serve me in some way on my journey? And it's just a different relationship with life that puts you more in the flow.
I agree with you 100%. Laura has a phrasing, and we're going to lose you here, Howard. So let me just tell you, thank you so much for coming on.
Sure.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you both.
Beautifully said.
Absolutely.
But Laura said, Laura has a phrase that she says all the time when, because Laura and I work with people who have the most extreme trauma that you could possibly imagine. Like, we don't work with people who, I'm just not sure what I want to do with my life. Like, we work with people who have been horrifically abused. Laura and I sometimes are last resort for people before serious, serious life-altering things. And Laura says something a lot that I just, I love this. She says, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I was sexually abused for this amount of time, or I was this, or I was that. And Laura will say, you know, and how long are you going to hold on to that? How long are you going to let that control who you choose to be? And I always add in, you know, haven't they taken enough from you? Do you really want to let them keep taking your life from you?
Yeah. And how has that been working for you so far? That's another one of my lines. How's that going for you?
How's that going for you? So I love, I really do love how Handsome Howard put, that's my name for you, Howard, Handsome Howard. I love how he put that, each time that happens, each time we go into that space where we have a quote plot twist, right? It is an opportunity to become who you choose to be, to change the narrative, because so many times we feel like the narrative is being given to us. And I'm going to tell you from experience, okay, you're talking about two female energy healers in St. George, Utah, right? Where women and energy healing are not a thing.
Slowly getting better.
It is getting better. I think that we've made a difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, we get it, but we made our own narrative. This is where we both were called to, and this is the work we were called to do. And we shut out the societal teachings, and we're changing the environment. We're changing how people see female healers and healers and females in this entire area.
Yeah.
It just takes one, sometimes two, because Laura and I, you know, coffee and wine.
Double trouble.
Definitely double trouble. But the two of us, Texans, who rolled in here, we have made a difference. And I see that difference all around us. And there's a huge community of wonderful humans, other female healers and some male healers that really are just phenomenal humans.
Breaking through.
And all of us together are breaking through. But each one of us had to start somewhere. And it started with a plot twist.
Oh, yeah.
It started with a plot twist, you know, of this is my life, this is who I am, and this is all I'm ever going to be, and this is what I must do. And each one of us had a plot twist, you know, and mine was a big one.
A big one.
A big one.
Right. Y'all can go back and listen to her book podcast and hear all about it.
And then, you know, for Laura had a large plot twist herself, and recently had another big plot twist. But anyway, so I love how Howard put that. And thank you, Howard, for coming on.
Yes.
Hello, amazing listeners. Sorry for the interruption, but Laura and I wanted to ask for your help. There is this cool program that we use called Patreon. When you sign up for Patreon under Who Said You Have To, you will get exclusive gifts from Tina and me.
For as little as $5 a month, you can get bonus content, live videos with Laura and me, which coffee and wine.
Fully clothed.
As well as an awesome Who Said You Have To sticker.
Another way to help us is to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Reviews are how we grow our listenership.
Laura and I love doing this podcast, and we truly appreciate all of your support.
Now, back to the show.
So, I don't like this next one.
I was going to say, I don't even want to read it.
Yeah.
Because it's the mantra itself, I'll read it so people, it says I'm losing my mind. And I'm like, there's nothing reassuring or redirecting about I'm losing my mind.
Nope.
So, shame on.
How about if we, listen, you know what, we're going to change the verbiage there. And how about if we just do, I'm changing my mind.
Oh, there you go.
I'm changing my mind. Because guess what? It's called being free.
Yeah.
It's called free will. We have the free will to be who we choose to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I choose to change my mind.
Yeah. I was going to change that one as well. But mine was more of something I learned recently. It was to control thoughts is literally you say to yourself, what is my next thought?
Oh, yeah, and that's a good one.
You say a flower, so you imagine a flower. Mm-hmm. What is my next thought? A tree. You imagine a tree. What is my next thought? A car. So over and over until you can get that fight or flight trigger relaxed.
Get that anxiety.
Because you're controlling your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You control everything. So what is my next thought? A song. What is my... And just over and over, what is my next thought? What is my next thought? And you're not letting your mind take control.
Exactly.
You are controlling your mind.
Well, and so we have the medical of what anxiety is, and everybody knows that, so I'm not even going to say it, but I want to talk about the truth of what's happening in the body. Mm-hmm. Is that you have your conscious mind and your divine spirit, which are both run by energy, right? Mm-hmm. They're both energy. And when two forces of energy collide and they fight, if you will, right? And just like rubbing your hands back and forth, and it generates that energy and that static electricity, mm-hmm. that just goes through your body and makes you feel like you want to crawl out of your skin. And by doing these mantras, by like what you were just saying, you are taking your brain out of the societal conscious mm-hmm. Thought process of fear and stress and anger and all of that. And you're going into just the subconscious or your divine spirit and seeing the truth and beauty of the world. And that is so vital for having that, improving your quality of life and to get rid of that anxiety. So you want to do number four? So sure. Number three was...
We switched it up. We made our own.
Yeah.
What is my next
thought? We do that
and
often.
And I changed my mind. The other one is letting go is bringing me closer to freedom.
Whoop, whoop,
freedom.
Whoop, whoop.
So the idea of letting go can sometimes induce fear, right? Because you're letting go.
Wait, what is that song?
The George Michael song?
Freedom? No. Oh. Free your mind. The rest will follow.
So the idea of letting go can sometimes induce fear because of the lack of control, right? As everybody that knows me knows, I like to think that I'm in control.
What?
But here you are reframing it and leading it to personal freedom.
Right.
So letting go includes like letting go of the narrative that we tell ourselves, such as how we see ourselves, how others see us, how the world sees us, right? And when you have the idea that something is bad, wrong, or just unwelcome, you're compelled to drive it away, right? Wish for something different. And you have preconceived thoughts and feelings. So these rigid and circumscribed ways of thinking and behaving keep you bound, right? They mm-hmm. keep you from moving forward and toward progress.
Interesting. So
letting it go.
Yeah.
Letting go is bringing me closer to freedom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a...
Whatever that repetitive thought is. Letting it go.
Yeah.
Letting
and the go. Thing is that nothing on this earth at a very... That same wise being that I spoke of earlier told me one time, he said, nothing is all good and nothing is all bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, pedophiles love their mothers. Serial killers have mothers that love them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is all good or all bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The action of the pedophile, the action of the serial killer, that is horrific, right? But, even Ted Bundy, right? I read one time, this guy was saying, now, if you're not a woman, mm-hmm. He would give you the shirt off his back.
Yeah.
Like, he would, he was the first one to show up when... somebody was moving or needed help or whatever. Yeah. And was it self-serving? Possibly.
Yeah. Well, you always see those serial killers and everybody's like, he was
the nicest guy.
Neighbor.
Yeah. But anyways, not if you look at things and say, okay, nothing is all good. Nothing is all bad. I have people who come to me, because they've lost their job. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I've lost my job. I don't know what to do. And, and I say, what a wonderful opportunity. In a perfect world, who would you be?
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you how many people over the last 4 years have then turned around and gotten their dream job. Not the job that society told them.
That was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, not the job that society told them they had to have.
Mm-hmm.
And letting it go and not being tied to this is how it must be to be okay.
Yeah.
You know? So, I first marriage, what, I mean, I'm sure that the time frame you wanted to, you wanted it to work, but when it was over.
But did I?
But did I? Truth. I've met you. Sorry. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, I hear all the time, you know, when people are going through a divorce and they'll be like, this is the most horrible thing. I wish that, you know, this wasn't happening and blah, 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 blah. But then you talk to them 5 years later when they've actually found the love of their mm-hmm. life. And
the best thing that ever like, happened to me.
Yeah. And they'll say that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Yeah. You know, I had my own situation in that, you know, mm-hmm. which I won't speak of. But so we'll go on to the next one. And the next one is I matter.
You matter.
I matter. And I'm going to add to this. And what I'm going to add to this is I matter. My feelings are valid. I matter. My feelings are valid. Because this brings you closer to recognizing that you are of value. And what's truly important to you does matter. And that you're more than just these anxious thoughts and feelings. That you have them, but they don't define you. And they don't have to confine you. And it's sure. It's identifying yourself as, okay, you know what? I'm feeling this anxiety. I got it. I have anxious thoughts and feelings. But I am more than that. I matter, and my feelings are valid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my husband loves arguing with me, right? Because who doesn't love arguing with me? But, you know, because if I say, I feel like you're not listening to me, and he says, you know, what everyone says, which is, I am listening to you. Okay. I get that that's how you feel,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just sharing with you how I feel, and my feelings matter. Yeah. I get that you think you are, and then he'll take a deep breath, and he'll say, I understand that you feel like I'm not listening to you.
Comma.
But. No, don't get that but.
No buts.
And then he'll say, you know, instead of, I am listening to you, he'll say, I hear you, that you feel like I'm not listening to you. What is it that I'm doing that makes you feel like I'm not listening?
Yeah.
So you're turning that into a conversation instead of an argument.
Because you were both right.
Correct.
You know?
Yes.
And that's the deal. A lot of times people are trying to push that onto you like, no, you're not right. You're not listening. And it's like, no, I understand that's how you feel. But exactly like you said, what am I doing that makes you feel that way so that I can correct it? But I was listening. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was listening.
Exactly. And like you said,
you're both right.
Neither's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone is allowed, everybody's feelings are valid.
Yeah. If you came back with some stupid excuse like, oh, you looked at your, you know, you opened the fridge. Well, that doesn't mean, you know, let's make them valid reasons.
You sneezed.
Because there's a lot of.
You sneezed.
There's, I see it more common with our youth nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
My feelings are valid and what I say, it is right. And you're not listening to me.
Why? Yeah.
Well, because you flicked a fly, you know, and.
Well, or because you don't agree with me, you're not listening.
You're not listening.
I hear what you're saying. Mm. I just don't think we should dye the
correct.
Dog blue.
Yeah. So, a little off topic there, but yeah, that's a big one nowadays. And this next one is beautiful. I'm choosing to grow hair on my legs. No, I'm choosing to grow.
Okay, so I just have to, it was a quick sidebar because, and I'm sorry I didn't videotape it for you because afterwards I was like, oh, I should have videotaped that for Laura. If anybody would like to come on as a guest, please feel free to request to be a guest.
If you have a good mantra, let's share it.
Yeah, please. If you have mantras that have been beneficial to you, please feel free to come on and share them. So my youngest daughter, who is 21, has gone through this really big kind of transformation. She was with a narcissist for a year and she's really.
Y'all can hear all the stories. Go back and listen to our podcast.
Anyway, so she was with a narcissist and she's really come out of that and really kind of come into her own. And so part of that, like taking back her power, she went into a very, a strong feminine kind of thing, and she
mm-hmm.
chose not to shave her armpits or her legs for a while, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful for her.
It's not my thing.
I can't imagine that tickle on my underarms.
Yeah, well, neither could she because she is now going to massage therapy school, and the
the movement.
Well, the Don King in a headlock look is just not working out, you know. So my 26-year-old daughter and my 21-year-old daughter with the furry pits, my youngest daughter decided that she didn't want to shave. She wanted to wax.
Oh.
And she couldn't get into, like, a professional waxer for a couple of days. Yeah. And she was like, oh, you know what? My sister can just help me. I'll do it myself. So this is how I know it's going on. All of a sudden, like, it gets real quiet. And then I hear, holy shit!
Yeah, that's going to be intense. I'm going to shave it.
But it took 3 swipes with the wax. I'm sorry to go off on that tangent, but it was hysterical. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm choosing to grow my hair.
So
I led you there.
But yeah.
But the mantra itself is, I'm choosing to grow. So you're going to increase awareness and conscientiousness toward consistently putting in the effort to enhance your self-confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Self-belief, self-love, all the self-confidence, self-efficacy. So taking that vow towards growth, mm-hmm. like you said earlier, like choosing that to be, you know, learning opportunity, growing from that. So mm-hmm. Choose to invest in it, and it can be so empowering.
Oh my gosh.
When you're making the absolute choice, I choose, you use that. Well, I hear you all the time with your clients and with me as well. I choose. So you can choose. You can decide how you're going to commit to the process and what actions need to be taken to successfully accomplish that choice. I'm choosing to grow.
Right. Well, and let's do a little experiment here. So everybody, I want you to say, like, I need to whatever it is that you feel like you need to do, right?
Yeah.
I, like for me, I need to do the dishes, all right? Gotcha. And now I want you to say, I choose to do the dishes, or I choose, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And see how different that feels. Because when we say the words like need, want, must, should,
have to,
we are literally telling our brain that it is a chore. And when we do that, our body will automatically create energy to push it away from us.
Yeah.
Because our
minds are... So can I do that, like, if I have, like, if I'm driving and I have diarrhea and I'm like, I choose to go. Well, you just said it'll push it away. So if I say I have to...
Yes.
It's going to block it.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's try it
out. Let's try
it. Sorry. Do you have video inside your car? Because I feel like our listeners should have the opportunity to
watch
see,
this.
See video.
I choose to wait for the next gas station to appear.
There you go. That's probably better. So when we say I want, need, should, we create energy within us without even trying to push it away from us. But when we say I choose, our minds and our bodies automatically make energy to pull it to us. And it's part of how powerful we are as human beings. And so it becomes a desire instead of a chore. And it just makes it, the universe itself will actually help you do the dishes. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Somebody might volunteer to do them for you.
I choose for my children to do the dishes.
I choose to pay bills. Does anybody want to pay the bills?
So this next one. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Yeah, I know you're going to like that word.
Yeah. So it says, failure is feedback.
You don't fail.
Yeah. You don't fail until you stop breathing. So, because I see them as continual learning experiences. Mm-hmm. So, but it says that we don't always get it right. We can't, right? Because we're human and flawed. And it is often part of our trials and our tribulations. And life experiences can be amazing life lessons, right? And it is put in place for us to ensure our growth and our maturity if we allow it to, right? Yet we can sometimes get stunted by our mm-hmm. fear, our fear of failure. Again, that's another huge reason that people come to Laura and I, is that fear of failure, that they're not going to be enough. And the mantra that they have here of failure is feedback, the reason that they see that as it allows you to, you know, recognize the benefits of failure so that you can observe it, notice it, and take that feedback and go back through your journey and learn from it.
I get the learning experience. Mm-hmm.
Rather than relying on the familiar and comfortable ways of being and acting.
Yeah.
But instead of failure is feedback, I think that what I would say is... I am human and flawed and loved exactly as I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am human and flawed and loved exactly as I am.
Because, yeah. I mean, if we don't have these lessons, how the heck are you supposed to grow?
Exactly.
If you stay locked up in your house all day long playing video games because you suffer from anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. What do you expect from your life? I'm like,
to be really good at video games.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to expect.
Okay. But it's like, how are you going to grow? It's not going to magically change.
Yeah. Nope. This is absolutely true.
And I know, I personally know that anxiety can be crippling, right? But I barreled through that shit. I'm like, I'm not going to let it keep me. I like to go out and have fun and do stuff, right?
Yeah, but you're
not going to let anxiety keep me home, locked up, afraid.
And I 100%, I'm right there with you.
And I know everybody's different.
But we were raised in a different era of most of our anxiety was at home.
Right.
And so,
I gotta get the hell out of here.
So the anxiety was in our house. So we were like, we were doing self-care by getting the hell out.
Right.
Whereas our children have amazing parents. And why would they ever want to leave? I'm suspecting one of them's going to call in and be a guest on our show here.
My son the other day, he was a little short on cash and he hadn't got his paycheck yet. And he's like, dang, this is hard. I was like, this is coming from the boy since he was like 14. He's like, when I'm 18, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
I'm out. And he's 18 and I encouraged him to get out like he had asked for. And he's like, oh, it's hard. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, my 21 and 26 just came back.
I know.
And both of them told me, they're like, you know what, Mom, what we pay you in rent, like we couldn't live. We couldn't get our own place even if we did it together.
Yeah.
And food and electric. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
I know.
As a matter of fact, I think I need to bump your rent up.
I didn't see my thank you card.
Yeah. No, as a matter of fact, I think it was, what do you mean I'm being too loud at 3:00 in the morning and you have to get up in the morning to go to work?
Yeah.
Because you and Laura have to record.
Yeah.
Because I'm playing video games.
I haven't seen any trophies or anything.
No.
Anywho.
Anyway. So, there is no failure. There's no failure. It's just learning lessons. Experiences. And we're getting ready to do our last one here. So if anybody would like to come on and be a guest, now is...
Love to hear some mantras.
Yeah, we would love to hear some mantras that you guys have to help our listeners.
Or if there's anyone that we said that you think is beneficial, let us know. Yeah.
Please, yes, absolutely. So Laura,
last one says, oh, we have a guest, actually.
Oh, never mind.
We'll read that last one in a second.
All right, we got Marcus,
your guru.
All right, we got a guru coming on. I bet he's got good mantras.
I hope so.
So we have the magnificent
Marcus. Magnificent Marcus. You're all very sweet. Hello, Tina and Laura.
Hello, handsome boy. What's going on?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Really, I just wanted to come and express something that me and my gal, we've been dealing with. We got pregnant with our first child during COVID. And, you know, the pregnancy process, the hormones go crazy. And she's had massive anxiety ever since then. And it was just one of those things where I was like, man, I don't know how to handle this. I felt so bad going in every day. So then all I did was, after a certain point, I realized, man, maybe we're just unprepared, you know? And I was like, and then I started thinking back even when I was a child growing, becoming 17, 18, 19, I felt unprepared to be an adult. And that gave me the most anxiety.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So me and my gal, she was going to go back to work and everything, high anxiety levels. And I was like, well, babe, let's go over your lines. She was waiting table. So let's go over your lines. And we prepared her. We went through it. And then when she went there, she said she didn't have a lick of anxiety. She didn't even have to think about it because she was just so prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have necessarily any mantras, but I do want to ask, do y'all feel that preparation plays a big part in your ability to deal with the situations that are within your control? Of course, those are things.
100%.
100%. Yeah.
And knowledge is the key, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, I was going to that bus stop at night, and a lot of times there were strange bus stops because I went to work and I went to school and just different places I had to take the bus. And knowing the route, knowing what time the buses came, all that stuff actually eased my anxiety because I knew, okay, I got 2 more minutes for the bus to get here. Or
right.
Just having that awareness and knowing.
Yeah,
right.
Same thing with money and stuff, you know, financially having a good nest egg or a fallback plan alleviates a lot of stress, whether it be transitioning a job or when bills are coming up, you know.
I agree 100%. So Marcus, I'm gonna tell you a story about Laura. So Laura grew up in Argentina, and you know, she's talking about how she would get nervous waiting for the bus and everything. But I'm going to tell you a little story so that you understand that she is definitely the warrior in the group here. she is the coffee and the coffee and wine. So there was a man, she was probably like 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And you know those protractor compass things that have like the sharp end and you put it down and you draw a circle with it? You know what I'm talking about? So this man decided, because in Argentina, men are very handsy with even young girls. And so he decided to nestle up against her, behind her, and get a little closer than she liked. And she stabbed that protractor right in his leg, and he never did it again.
Well, he's prepared now.
He is now prepared that Laura is not the one to mess with. Yeah. Thank you so much, Marcus, for coming on. That was absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
That is wonderful advice.
That was brilliant knowledge. Yeah. We didn't share that.
Yeah. Marvelous
knowledge.
Marvelous, Marcus.
Prepare yourself for what gives you anxiety.
And let me just tell you how much it melted my heart when he kept saying my gal and I. That is the sweetest thing.
It's for example, like for.
And I wanted to ask about the baby.
Oh. Yeah.
Because, you know, that was 2020. So like.
2-year-old toddler running around like
boy,
crazy.
Girl, you know, I'm very excited. I want to know. And I want to see pictures. Yeah. Well, here, he's coming back on.
He's going to have to email you those pictures.
Yeah. What? He can't just show them on here?
No.
There's no video.
I don't think so.
I came back to tell you ladies about my children. So that was our first child. He's 2 years old now. His name's Adonis King. I'm big on, I named my kids when I was 18 and, you know, and everything. And then now we're already having our second child, should be here in another month. And that's
congratulations.
Apollo. Thank you so much. They're both beautiful. They're like blessings of my life. Apollo Leonel.
Darn, they got some powerful names.
Love it.
Well, I had to, but thank you ladies for asking. Y'all are so sweet. I promise. I've been listening to you guys off and on this whole time, and y'all's energy, you're so positive. You're very sweet. And I love that you guys are trying to deter everyone's minds from the bad part, the pessimistic side, and you're trying to push everybody towards optimism that they only see the light. And you guys are being a light, and I can't wait to watch your show more often.
Oh, thank you, sweet boy.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you, we do two podcasts. We do Who Said You Have To, and we also do The Oracle and the Warrior, and both of those are on every major
platform.
Thank you.
So I can go on YouTube, and it's called YouTube.
Well,
actually, YouTube is one of the ones that we haven't.
Yeah, we're not so good at, but you can go on like Spotify, like anywhere that you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher.
Can I get the names real quick again? I'm sorry, I'm writing it down.
No, you're good. Who Said You Have To is more societal, like today's, podcast. And then the other one is called The Oracle and the Warrior. And that one is we dispel some religious things that people believe that God, like that God said it, but it actually, like one of them, which is, spare the rod, spoil the child. That actually, God never said that. It was actually, that was from a play that was written in the 1600s.
Yeah. There's something similar.
Well, I never knew that.
Yeah. There is something similar. Well,
similar in the Bible.
It's King Solomon or King David, one of them.
Yeah.
In Psalm says, he who does not discipline his child hates his child.
Yeah.
But that's not what was told over the many, many years. You know, it was the other one, which again came from a play.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of dispel those kind of things. And also the Bible never talks about people getting.
Like I said, y'all are so sweet. So I don't mind tuning in. Y'all have great energy and great chemistry as well. So thank you, Tina and Laura.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. You have a great day, sweetheart.
You as well.
Yeah. All right. Like he was talking about the knowledge, I tried to like to calm my daughter's anxieties about some things by learning about them.
Right.
Like fear of snakes. Okay. Well, let's look at which ones are bad. I don't like them either. So like, let's look at which ones are bad and let's look at which ones are good. So that way when you see it, yes, run.
Yeah.
Or no, you're cool. Right. So knowledge, perfect example.
Yeah. No, agreed. Marvelous. So we've had Handsome Howard, who had wonderful things, and Marvelous Marcus. So, all right. So this is the last mantra.
There's always a trade-off. So everything comes at a cost, unfortunately.
My love doesn't.
Oh, Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, my love does it. You having to spend time with me. There's a cost.
So we often have to give up something to get something. Often. It doesn't say every time, for example, right? But, or just be willing to accept discomfort to move through a change. So it's a natural phenomenon in our lives. Whether you want to venture or embark on something new, or maybe going through a major or minor life transition, you need to accept the trade-off. So you're wanting change, right? You're wanting to move across the country. There's going to be some anxiety, but you're willing to accept that, right?
Yes.
So expecting, accepting, and expanding your willingness to adapt to the trade-offs will make it more likely that you'll forge ahead no matter what comes your way.
Yeah. Feeling anxious is, I mean, it's natural and expected.
Yes.
And
no anxiety is not good either.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a defense mechanism.
Because that means that your brain's not working the way it should.
Yeah.
And especially with all the stress and uncertainty that we are surrounded by.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have a choice on how you communicate to yourself and how you choose to behave on behalf of your thoughts and your feelings.
Yeah.
And you could be proactive and make a concerted effort to reframe and refocus, redirect the messages in ways that empower you to live in your life with greater peace and self-satisfaction.
Yeah.
Or you can not, you know. I know that there is, life is just, it's not a certainty. It is always going to be questions about what can I do? What can I do to change this? What can I do to make it better? What am I willing to give up? What am I willing to trade off, if you will? And what I am willing to trade is I am willing to trade fear for peace. I am willing to trade fear for self-love. I am willing to trade sadness and judgment for forgiveness. Forgiveness for others. Forgiveness for self. I'm willing to trade all of the negative for positive and for love. And I think that that is how we just find a better space. And unfortunately, Laura had to step out of the room for a moment, so which isn't probably good for anybody because that means that I'm just going to be able to ramble on. Just kidding. So, but for Laura and I both, I just wanted to tell you that you are loved exactly as you are. And we are so grateful that you all take your time to listen to us and hear what we have to say. And I will encourage you to go to our Free Will Healing Facebook page and also to go to our freewillhealing.com. That's the business that Laura and I run. It's a holistic healing center where we help empower people to heal themselves. And just know that we are here and that we love you exactly as you are. Peace.
If you have suggestions for topics that you would like us to cover or you have a question, please feel free to contact us via email at whosaidyouhaveto@gmail.com. If you would like to know more about Free Will Healing, Tina or me, visit our website at www.freewillhealing.com.
And also, please check the show notes for all of our Who Said You Have To social media links on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, where you can follow or subscribe to get updates for any upcoming events or personal appearances near you.
We encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
Who said you have to?